Thank you, Joe, for that heartfelt sharing. And it's been wonderful to see how God has been working in you these many years. And good morning, church family. It's so good to be with you all today, whether you're here in the house or online. Welcome to Community Church. I'll add my welcome to Pastor Brenda's. It's good to be here with you all. We're in the midst of Making All Things New, this series of transformation. Every part of our life being transformed by God, and it's His work. In our life groups, we're going through emotional, healthy spirituality. I highly recommend it. If you're not in a group, join a group. If you're not in a group and you want to start a group, talk to Pastor Brenda. We'd love to start more groups during this time, as it does a thorough job of reflecting some of what we're talking about on Sundays. If you've missed some of the series so far, you can go to our YouTube page and check those out. We definitely want to do this journey together. Joe talked about the journey that he took in breaking the power of the past, and today we talk about taking off the armor, and he so wonderfully shared how he had to do that in his own life, right? Because the reality is that you can't heal what you don't acknowledge. And what you don't consciously acknowledge will remain in control of you from within. And so this important part of taking off our armor is what God wants to invite us into so He can transform us. Let's pray. God, I do thank you that you are here this morning, and I thank you for each person that's here online or in person. I pray you do a work in each of our lives, God. We are all a work in progress. And we just invite your Spirit to bring us what we need to hear today. In your name, amen. So the armor that was once helpful for you is now become a prison. And Joe talked about that. As a child, he had to put on this armor to defend himself. And it's what he needed to do as a child because he was thrust into a situation that child isn't prepared to handle. And that armor was helpful for him in protecting him, and it was a protective layer, really. It says, I won't be hurt again, right? It says, I can do this on my own. Don't show weakness, or others are going to take you down. Don't show fear. Don't show tears. And yet what was helpful for him and for us as children becomes a prison as an adult. That protective layer that is protecting you from other people is actually distancing you from other people. You're not able to connect with them because of that armor, and you're not able to connect with God because of that layer. I had shared a little bit last week about some of the fighting that was in my home, and my protective layer became escaping that, covering my head with a pillow so I didn't have to hear the arguments between my parents. Spending as much time away from the home as possible. That's how I protected myself. But the problem was, is I wasn't raised with the emotional skills to press into hard problems, to really work through difficult conflicts. It was flee, or it was fight, or freeze, as Erica shared last week. But it wasn't actually being productive. I had to relearn how to do that. But it's risky to take off the armor, isn't it? It's there for a reason. We think it's helping us. We might not realize that it's become a prison, right? But if we sort of imagine a closed fist and that being the armor, right? What we have is all we're going to get. Whatever we're holding on to, that's it. Nothing new, nothing changes. And eventually we realize the armor's failing us. Life isn't how we want it to be. It's not as good as we want it to be. And we have to open up our hand. We have to take off that armor so God can do a new thing. It's risky because you think, I don't want to lose what I already have. I don't want to be hurt again. And yet if we want more, if we want transformation, we've got to open up our hands. We've got to take off that armor. We have to relearn behaviors that we've walked through as a child. We need to invite Christ in and to see that He was in fact with us the whole time. And He can be trusted. Because the armor, friends, is keeping us from being transformed by God. Let's look at Paul. Now, Paul wrote a huge part of the New Testament, and this is what he is sharing with the church in Corinthians. It'll be on the screen here. It'll also be in your bulletin. And so let's look at these words that Paul shares to the church. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. This is a thorn that he's referenced. And he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord. That's three, not just three different prayers, but three seasons, three periods of his life where he was pleading with God to take away this thorn. But he, and this is Jesus that said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Power is at its best in weakness, Paul says. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Really? Is that true? What Jesus said to him? Is that how the world works? Is that how we can be in our workplace? Can we actually show our weakness? Is Jesus playing a trick here on Paul? Or has Jesus hidden wholeness and transformation in a place that only the humble can find it? If we're happy enough with seeing our own power, God says, fine. That's what you'll get, your own power. But if we can admit, actually, our power is not enough, our strength is not enough, God would love to show up in that. Paul says, for three times or three seasons, I pleaded with God. He was desperate for God to take away this thorn. We don't know what the thorn was. It could have been a physical disability. It could have been a mental health issue. It could have been a conflictual situation. But whatever it was, it brought Paul to the edge of his own strength. He didn't have the strength to deal with this thorn. It made him so weak that he was forced to be dependent upon God. See, Paul didn't want to lead out of his weakness. He repeatedly told God, I can't take it. Please take it from me. But God knew Paul would be unbearable if he took away that thorn. Paul says earlier that God taught him humility through this thorn. God's power in Paul would have been diminished if he had taken away that challenge that he was walking through. See, until we bottom out, until we come to the end of our own strength, our own fuel supply, we're not going to look for better power, more fuel. We won't learn to depend on a larger source of power if we think we have enough of our own. It's not until we're depleted. We've come to the own. We've tried it our own way. It hasn't been satisfying. It hasn't worked as well as we had thought. We need something more. See, until there's a person, a situation, an event, a hardship that you're walking through, most of us are thinking, I've got it managed just fine. Thank you very much. I can take care of it myself, and that might work for a while. But that'll keep us from trusting the true manager of life. So God makes sure things will come into our lives that give us the opportunity to trust in Him. I've been in this new role as senior pastor now for less than 3 months. This is my second time to preach as a senior pastor to a live audience, right? I didn't think that would be the case as I stepped into this role. But what I was aware of from the very beginning is I can't do this role in my own power. There is no way I can. God's taken me to the end of myself, and I knew that would be the case. I have to be on my knees saying, God, I don't have what it takes, but you do. I don't have what it takes, but you working through this church, we do. If I'm happy enough seeing my own power, God will say, fine. But we'll miss out. See, God has more need for your weakness than for your power. It allows him to show up. So what is your armor? What's your protective layer? Pride is a frequent one that many of us wrestle with. Now, if you're a self-made person, you've conquered your own challenges, you've risen up, and you hit a challenge, what do? The first response probably isn't, oh, I can't handle this, I'm weak, I need help. I'll try even harder, right? I'll work even more, I'll put in more hours. I will try to overcome. And what happens in our hearts when we do that, right? The long-term result is a rigid personality, somebody who's angry, somebody who just oozes narcissism, oozes self-confidence. There's an unattractiveness to the person who keeps trying to do it all on their own. Their own success, their own defense. It doesn't create loving people. It doesn't create people that want to meet one another in humility and connection. See, the ego has to go. If we could solve our own problems with our own ego, the world would be a different place, right? Our ego is what got us into our problems a lot of times. We need something else to pull us out. See, Jesus uses the wonderful metaphor of the grain of wheat and what has to happen. He says, unless the grain of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it remains only a single grain. But if it dies, it will yield a rich harvest. He invites us to be that grain, to die to self, to die to our own success, to die to our own power, and actually let God work through us. What's another defense? Perfectionism. Brené Brown talks about our armor as being a shield, and she talks about perfectionism. And perfectionism at its core is about trying to earn approval. It says, if I do things just right, then I will be okay. If I look perfect, if I do everything perfectly, I can avoid painful things. I can avoid problems. I'll navigate around every issue that comes up, and if I messed up, then I need to be more perfect next time. But that pushes people away, and it pushes God away. Maybe we heard that message as a child every time we messed up. You're not good enough. You should have done it this way. And we begin to walk with that same mindset. Numbing. Numbing can be busyness, right? Noise. We constantly are filling our head with busyness or streaming or activity that we don't slow down. We don't take a 3-day retreat. We don't take time to listen to God because we want to push all of that away. We might become defensive. This is a go-to piece of armor for me. It's not my problem, it's your problem, right? Instead of owning the things that are inside of us. And we might be in denial. We might not even be aware. It's too hard to go there. We might have kept people so far away from us that we won't admit the problem to ourselves and we won't listen to other people when they try to point it out. In 12 Steps and Celebrate Recovery, this denial or powerlessness is the first step. Recognizing that we're powerless to change ourselves. And it's the work that God wants to do in us. Now, if it means we take off our armor, does it mean everything's going to be healed? Everything is going to be fixed? Not always, right? Not always. I think my understanding earlier was God will fix all of this. If I become vulnerable for God, he'll change all of my circumstances. And that's not the case. It wasn't the case for Paul. Paul had to learn to take off the armor, to be weak, but God didn't take away that thorn. God doesn't always heal what we want him to heal, but he wants to heal our hearts. He might not take away the thorn, but he wants to speak into our lives. See, Paul, there's a little journey I want to show here with Paul. I'm going to skip that
quote here. Paul's growth in Christ parallels his increasing sense of weakness. And I have a little timeline here. If you want to take a picture of that, I'll go into some more detail. But in Acts 15, so early days of ministry with Paul, he has a disagreement with Barnabas over John Mark. See, John Mark had failed Paul earlier. So Paul doesn't want to do ministry with John Mark anymore. He says, you failed me once, I'm not doing it again. Barnabas says, we need to give him another chance. Paul's like, no, no way. No more chances. And they split, right? Paul is full of himself. A year or so later in Galatians 2, he appears proud and arrogant when talking about the other apostles. 6 years after that, he says, actually, I'm the least of the apostles. 5 years after that, in Ephesians 3:8, he says, I'm the least of all the Lord's people. You can begin to see the work that God is doing in Paul. And finally, 2 years after that, 2 years before his death, in 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul says, I am the worst of all sinners. Literally there, it's I am the chief sinner. Not Paul saying I was the chief sinner back when I was persecuting Christians and having them killed. He's saying right in this moment, is Paul becoming a worse person? Or is he understanding that for God to continue the transformative work in his life, he's more aware of the areas he falls short? He's providing more and more space for God to, in fact, work within him, and God did work within him. See, God doesn't take away all of our weaknesses. He actually uses those weaknesses as an opportunity to minister to us and to minister to other people. Do you ever think about God loving your weaknesses? Loving you in them? That who you are right now is enough for him to love you? That he wants to do a work through you because of those weaknesses? Because of the stories? That he actually wants to redeem those painful things that happened in your past. God's will for our lives is not that we experience abuse. It's not God bringing in abuse or these challenging situations. It's God saying, I will use the ingredients of your life and make something beautiful out of it. I will bring it to redemption. What weakness might you have? What weakness might God have given you? What weakness have you walked through? Maybe it's emotional fragility where you're given to anger or anxiety or depression. Maybe it's scars from an abusive past. And it's an addiction that requires you to be hypervigilant every day. Maybe it's a physical disability. Maybe it's having a child with special needs. All of these things are opportunities for us to come to God and say, I need you. I am not enough on my own. I need your power to work through it because I can't do it myself. These are the ingredients God uses to bring his redemption, church. And this redemption work is God's plan. To not just heal you and to draw you close, but part of that redemptive work is how can I use you to minister to somebody else in life? Like Joe ministering to us today, because he allowed God to transform him, to use the stories of hardship in his life now to minister to us. Henry Nouwen says it beautifully in his book, Wounded Healer. He says this, no one escapes being wounded. We are all wounded people, whether physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. The main question is not how can we hide our wounds so we don't have to be embarrassed, but how can we put our woundedness in service of others? When our wounds cease to be a source of shame and become a source of healing, we have become wounded healers. God will use your woundedness, your weakness to minister to other people, to bring healing to other people. I know the things that I have walked through. I'm able to sit and listen to people that have walked through similar things in a different way than if I had never experienced those things. Richard Rohr says it this way. It's not on the slide. Richard Rohr says, I think your heart needs to be broken and broken open at least once to have a heart at all or to have a heart for others. Our heart needs to be broken open so God can minister in it. Sheila Walsh, who, famous Christian singer, struggled with severe depression, says this: "My brokenness is a better bridge to people than my pretend wholeness." I could be up here and talk all about my strengths, right? And you might think, oh, that's interesting, that's good. Or I could share things of my heart that provide a bridge to connect, and we can do the same in our life groups, in our friendships, in our workspaces. See, the curriculum we're going through, Emotional Healthy Spirituality, invites us to be our true self. We were talking last night in our life group about how, what are places that you can be your true self in? Where do you feel safe? And the question I had was, are we creating safe places for people to be their true selves? Warts and all, weaknesses and all. Because as a church, that's what I want us to be about, to not pretend we have everything together, but to be able to walk in God's grace together so that we can take off the masks, we can take off the armor, and we can know Christ's love. We can be the hands and feet of Christ to one another, listening and learning and ministering. That is what God wants to do in our midst, friend. It's His work, not ours. So we can appreciate the cracks, the weaknesses, the brokenness. We can appreciate our own brokenness as it allows us to open up to Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are in the midst today, that you are here, and I pray that you, in fact, do speak a word to each one of us today. Wherever we might be, if we've resolved all of our past or we're still working on that, God, I pray that you would meet us, that you would bring us to a place of openness to you and openness to others, God. Amen.